Hi, this is Martin and Julie Matthews of Healthful Living. The following episode of Reality Sandwich aired live at noon, Thursday, November 1st. We discussed in detail the raw milk uproar in the state of California as the governor signed a bill into law that included a new standard for raw milk production.
As a certified nutrition consultant, I'm highly concerned that California may inhibit raw milk availability to those who need it the most. This new standard, in fact, may not actually increase the safety of raw milk. We need to understand this issue better so that those people who want to have access to raw milk will still have it available, but at the greatest safety possible for all Californians.
Listen to this show to understand what's taking place here, the key issues at hand, and what actions are underway right now, as well as what you can do to help preserve your right and access to this healthy food source.
Then visit healthfulliving.org to read the latest issue of the Healthful Living Advocate, in which we talk about our most recent visit to organic pastures. And be sure to enter your email address to remain connected with Healthful Living. Now, Reality Sandwich.
You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon, we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, all six areas of the Healthful Living Model. You can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist, and most importantly, a Healthful Living advocate, just like each and every one of you should be. And you can get this show afterwards, and I encourage you to forward it to folks because it's going to be an incredibly great, important discussion today. But you can get this show at realitysandwichradio.com. Today on Reality Sandwich, we are going to be discussing raw milk and the availability of raw milk. But it's a bigger and broader discussion than that. It's really about your rights and access to healthy and safe products. It's also about your rights as a citizen to have your government be looking after you and doing the right thing and representing all the interested parties and making correct decisions to represent you at the government level and making sure that you're happy and healthy. And there's some issues to discuss here. So the main reason of this show is because about 2-3 weeks ago, the state passed a bill, Assembly Bill 1735, which included a few words which essentially will make it very, very difficult, if not completely prohibitive, to allow us consumers to be able to have raw milk here in California. It's a significant shift in position. California has is one of the biggest producers of raw milk. We have it here. We're able to buy it. We're happy. We've enjoyed it for many years. But now we have some new legislation that seems to have snuck past because it doesn't seem to have really been discussed very clearly with the parties that it would be affecting. So we're going to get some more insight about that. But where I'm coming from is I just really want to understand what happened here. If my state government, and in particular here the California Department of Food and Agriculture, is going to take action to put a law into place that's going to further protect me, I want to understand what that is. Why is that? Does it make sense? Because it's important to me as a consumer to make sure that I have availability of safe and healthy foods, as it should be to each of you. So I have assembled on the line today, as best I could, a group of folks who know the most about this subject. I have on the line with me today Sally Fallon. She is the director of the Weston A. Price Foundation. You can read about Weston A. Price at westonaprice.org. They're a national organization. She can tell you more about it, but all about our rights and our access to healthy foods and resources. I also have on the line Chris Ostrander. He is a sustainable agricultural organizer and activist in Eastern Washington. He's been very instrumental over the past number of years in the shareholder dairy programs up in Washington. He's going to give us some feedback on some of the history of raw milk legislation. And I also have on the line Mark McAfee, who is the owner and director of Organic Pastures Dairy, the largest raw milk producer to consumers here in California. I also want to note that I have tried steadfastly over the past few days to have a representative from the California Department of Food and Agriculture on the line with us to help us just explain and understand where this new standard comes from, what's the rationale behind it, and they have refused to be on the line with us. So I will be reading a news release that they put out regarding this issue to represent their opinion. Essentially, they were going to speak with me, but when I informed them that I was going to be debating this subject on the line and just talking about it, they stepped back. I was also not able to get a representative from the state assembly who wrote this bill and had it passed, and nobody objected to it. So I contacted the State Assembly's office, the Committee on Food and Agriculture, to see if they could have somebody connect with me here on the air and speak with our listeners to just help us understand why this has happened, why the new standard, why the need for it. And they also could not come forward to share any insights with us. So that's where we stand. That's where we are. Many consumers have been in uproar. We've been getting emails. People are concerned. They want to know what's going on. Let's first go to the phone and connect in, please, with Sally Fallon, who will give us some insight on what's going on here.
Okay. Well, I think let me say first that the Weston A. Price Foundation is probably the best-known organization that's promoting raw milk. We have, through our local chapters, we have created intense consumer demand, and we have created very creative ways of obtaining raw milk in states which are not as enlightened as California. Now, what's happened in the last, I would say, 6 months is what we've seen in many states, a crackdown, and it's taken different forms. Just to give you an example, in Missouri, where it is legal to sell raw milk without a permit, farmers who are doing this are getting cease and desist letters. In Pennsylvania, where it is legal, the farmers are being tested using a test that gives a lot of false positives, and then they're closed down for a few weeks. So this is all part of a very well-orchestrated plan that I'm sure is is coming from FDA or USDA. Now, this is a sneak attack in California, and basically what they've done is create a standard so stringent that it is virtually impossible to produce milk consistently with 10 milliliters or less of coliform in the sample, or 10 coliform per milliliter, whatever it is. And they stuck this through without, you know, any input from the people most concerned. First, I want to say this is not going to happen. One way or another, we will defeat this, and Mark has been in negotiations with the department. I think they realize that if this goes through, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits. It will be very expensive for them. What we have on our side that we didn't have 20 years ago when basically the California Department of Food and Agriculture put the other raw dairy out of business, that was Altadena. And, you know, they have a real hatred for raw milk in this department. It goes way, way back. What we have that we didn't have before is a lot more science. We know that these coliforms are beneficial. They actually protect you from the bad kind of E. coli. We know that if you follow the testing methods that they're recommending, you're going to get artificially high levels. So we know a lot that we can bring into play. We also have the superlative 7-year safety record of organic pastures dairy. So I am sure that one way or another this is not going to happen, and we have many avenues to pursue.
Well, that's good news, and we'll hear more from Mark in just a moment, but I'm still sitting here going, well, why would this happen? I'm looking at an analysis of AB 1735, and I see that that just a few words were added to the code. It says here, it previously said that the restriction except as otherwise provided in this article, market milk shall not contain any of the following. And it previously said more than 15,000 bacteria per milliliter if it is to be sold as raw milk to the consumer. And they added in there, in the middle of that, they added in, it says now more than 15,000 bacteria per milliliter or more than 10 coliform bacteria per milliliter. So me, just as I, you know, I'm not a scientist, I'm just a consumer, I'm looking at this kind of thing, and I have to assume that, okay, there must be something, some rationale, some reasoning for making this modification that would somehow affect my safety.
Well, that's what they're arguing, but we can show that, first of all, California has never thought coliforms were important before. Now, it may sound like a dangerous thing. Coliform is like E. coli, right? But lactobacillus is coliform. The bifidus bacteria in the mother's milk is coliform. So these are actually beneficial bacteria, and, of course, we have lots of science to show this. But basically, when asked, the California officials say, well, we're just trying to bring this in conformity with the FDA. So this tells you where this is coming from, and the FDA knows that you cannot produce milk commercially with this type of stringent restriction. And by the way, this is what put the milk out of business before 20 years ago. This is what was revived with the vote by the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors to get rid of this such restrictive parameters for producing raw milk. By the way, pasteurized milk, there's more bacteria allowed in pasteurized milk than raw milk, and consumers are under a big illusion if they think there's no bacteria and no pathogens in raw milk. There's plenty in there. So.
Well, let's just be fair for a quick minute here and take a moment, because I'm going to read the news release that was sent out by the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Now, we know that the CDFA was behind bringing this to the State Assembly and adding these words in, adding this restriction in. So since they were not willing to discuss this with us, I just feel I need to be fair, and I'm actually going to read their news release, which is titled New Coliform Bacteria Standards for California Raw Milk Producers. Tests show raw milk dairies would have met standards 75% of the time in the last year. This is from Sacramento. It's dated actually just a few days ago, October 26th. The recent passing of AB 1735 establishes a new state standard for coliform bacteria in milk that is sold raw to consumers. Effective January 1st, 2008, California's two raw milk bottlers may have a count of no more than 10 coliform bacteria per milliliter in their final product, the same limit as pasteurized milk. Most coliforms originate from the intestines of warm-blooded animals, including people, and are normally shed in the feces of healthy livestock, including dairy cattle. Some types of coliforms can cause serious illness in people, especially young children, the elderly, and those with weakened immune systems. The detection of coliforms in milk does not necessarily mean that a disease-causing or pathogenic form of the bacteria is present. However, elevated coliform counts in milk and dairy products suggest unsanitary conditions exist during production, processing, or packaging. Since most foodborne pathogens originate from fecal contamination, it is essential that strict sanitary practices be followed to minimize the risk of people consuming raw milk products. While CDFA does not currently conduct regulatory tests for coliform counts in packaged raw milk, and won't until January 1, 2008, routine farm inspection samples of bulk milk collected during the last year show the two dairies would have met the new coliform standards 75% of the time. CDFA inspectors routinely help facilities with identifying problem areas of sanitation and cleanliness that might affect their ability to meet standards and will be available to assist both raw milk bottlers in the state. Some of the methods raw milk dairies may employ to reduce bacteria counts include the following: properly managing manure, bedding, housing, and pastures to prevent cows from arriving overly dirty at their milking parlor, keeping cow udders and teats clean and dry, ensuring the hands of milkers are clean and dry, using industry best practices for cleanliness and sanitation to maintain equipment, and providing sufficient refrigeration to ensure milk is properly stored and cooled at 45 degrees or below. All of these procedures are well-recognized and proven means to help control the bacterial quality of milk, including coliforms. Without the added protective step of pasteurization, cleanliness, and sanitation of increased importance to producing raw milk and safe and suitable quality for the consumer. For more information, they have a link that has another PDF file with some more data. Now, that was from the California Department of Food and Agriculture.
Yeah,
that's their news release.
Yeah.
Now, I am left still wondering, where did this number 10 come from? What does it mean, and why does it seem to be so important to them as a standard that they need to modify state legislation, not debate it and put it in there? So I did some calling around because they were telling me that you know, this is the same standard as they have up in the state of Washington. And I was able to connect up there with Chris Ostrander, who knows quite a lot about the history of raw milk legislation and such. And my directive was trying to understand, where does this number 10 come from? So if we could go now to Chris, if you're still there, Chris, if you could share with us a little bit of history of what you know about where that 10 coliform limit came, how that is playing out up in Washington, and just inform our listeners a little bit about the history of where they've landed on this number.
Okay, well, thanks, Mark. I just want to start off by saying that I'm honored and deeply humbled to be on the same radio program with Sally Fallon and Mark McAfee. I hardly feel qualified. I'm sure that they could say everything I need to say. But I live in the state of Washington, where we do have legal raw milk sales, retail sales. People can produce raw milk and package it and sell it in stores and at farmers markets and stuff. But we do also have this 10 or less coliform bacterial count requirement for raw milk for human consumption. And I was studying this pretty heavily a couple of years ago when we were doing some organizing up here. And, you know, to me, the 10 or less figure is a completely arbitrary figure. It was lifted, I believe, from the federal FDA pasteurized milk ordinance, which is an ordinance that the FDA put together with the intention that states would adopt it for their own milk regulation. I suppose especially as it comes to in-state sales as opposed to interstate sales of milk produced, you know, for instance, in Washington State and sold in Washington State. But one of the things about the pasteurized milk ordinance is it's just that. It's about pasteurized milk. It's not about raw milk for direct human consumption. It deals with raw milk. The pasteurized milk ordinance deals with raw milk that's in bulk tanks at people's farms that's destined to eventually become pasteurized milk before it's consumed by humans. And what happened in Washington was they adopted the PMO, and then because Washington had legal raw milk sales, they had to decide what standards they were going to use for regulating raw milk in the state of Washington for sale in Washington, because the PMO doesn't cover raw milk. And they just lifted this number 10 from the standards for pasteurized milk. After it's been pasteurized, pasteurized milk is tested for various things, including coliform, and there it says not to exceed 10 per milliliter coliform bacteria. And, you know, the reason for that is because after you've pasteurized milk, you've killed just about everything that's alive in the milk, and it shouldn't have any coliform bacteria in it after that process. And so the 10 milliliter or less is one of the two tests that's used for pasteurized milk to ensure that there hasn't been any post-pasteurization contamination of that milk. And one of the reasons they do that for pasteurized milk is because after you've pasteurized milk, it becomes even a better medium in which to grow other bacteria, some of which could be harmful. But to use that 10 or less coliform figure for raw milk is like comparing apples and oranges. It was a standard that was designed for testing the adequacy of a pasteurization process, but raw milk out of a cow that's even in a extremely clean dairy could very well exceed 10 coliform per milliliter just on the basis of the fact that raw milk is really a natural product. It is as nature intended it, and coliform bacteria are ubiquitous in nature, and there's no reason to try to create a raw milk. In fact, there's reasons why you possibly want to have some coliform bacteria in milk. You know, the 10 figure is a convenient figure because it does provide an incredible hardship to producers, especially small-scale producers, to achieve that level on a consistent basis. And if they don't achieve it on a consistent basis, they may be forced not to sell raw milk, and they would lose their investment. And it's a hindrance, very much so, to the wider production of raw milk.
Well, it's also sounding to me like it's a focus on something that isn't really a direct measure of the safety of the product. So these dairies are focusing on meeting a number that is just an arbitrary figure that doesn't really reflect whether or not it's safe. I mean, I'm looking at the further statement here, the further document from the CDFA here in California. It says, since most coliform bacteria are not harmful, the finding of coliforms in milk does not necessarily mean that a disease-causing or pathogenic form of the bacteria is present.
Right. And the main thing that any raw dairy producer wants to do is produce a dairy product that does not contain pathogens. And in California, and at Organic Pastures, a dairy company that Mark McAfee operates, they test for human pathogens. That's a very reasonable approach. If you don't want human pathogens in the milk, test for the human pathogens. The coliform count is kind of like a way to police, how rigorous the CDFA would claim that it's a way to police how rigorous the cleanliness and sanitation procedures are at the dairy, and it may be useful to figure out ways of monitoring how those procedures are carried out at a dairy. But perhaps for raw milk especially, this number of 10 or less coliform per milliliter in raw milk is an arbitrary figure to use to attain a goal that could be attained in other ways. And the presence of coliform bacteria doesn't in itself create a pathogenic situation. And in fact, I want to point out a couple of things that there are other states that allow raw milk to be sold for direct human consumption. And at my last time that I went through several states' laws and regulations, I found that Connecticut, Idaho, New Mexico allow 50 coliform per milliliter in raw milk for direct human consumption. And the state of Missouri allows 100 coliform per milliliter. Now, these states believe that those numbers ensure a safe product for the consumer. I wanted to also correct in that California Department of Food and Agriculture release that you were reading from, they mentioned that Idaho has the same 10 or less milliliter per milliliter coliform count as Washington, but that's not true. I mean, I just this morning went to the Idaho legislative website and found that it's for retail raw milk in Idaho, it's 50, and that's a mistake on the part of the California ag folks to say that Idaho is like Washington.
Well, unfortunately, mistakes do not seem to be a challenge for them, from what I'm understanding here with the CDFA. I'm reading also a article that was in the Chronicle just last Friday about this issue, and they state here that the CDFA has, let's just see, they've clamped down on organic pastures incorrectly a couple of times, looks like. I'm sure we've got Mark chomping at the bit, and we'll go to him in just a moment. But I'm seeing here a bit of a history of jumping the gun, so to speak, on trying to prevent something, you know, that might be a challenge here. And, you know, it's unsettling to me, you know, that we're living in a world where, you know, action's being taken because, ooh, there might be a concern. We don't really know. There's not a direct correlation or any real specific scientific rationale for it, but let's just be careful.
Well,
and that's a bit dangerous to me.
There's a lot to be said for the precautionary principle.
Sure.
But the precautionary principle should never be applied in a vacuum or in the dark or undercover or covertly, like apparently they did it in California.
Right.
And, you know, I used to live in California. I used to drink Altadena raw milk when I lived there in the 80s. And I was amazed by the effectiveness and the astuteness of the raw milk consuming population in California, because they do come to the rescue of the right of Californians to drink raw milk
mm-hmm.
when the time comes. And I'm impressed with Mark's ability to galvanize the consumer to contact these folks in the assembly about this sort of flyby or in the dark of the night legislation, and it should never be done that way. I think the reason why the California Department of Food and Agriculture did it that way, and I think they did it consciously, was because they knew the power of the raw milk constituency in California, and they figured that if they could get this thing through without debate, they could get it through. And now that it's law, it's a lot harder to change it or repeal it than it is before the fact. But if it had been announced before the fact, there would have been a very good discussion about the efficacy of this standard, whether the coliform count testing is a good way to monitor it, what the appropriate level standard should be. That would have been great to have that debate. But, you know, now we're having this this other kind of debate, which maybe, you know, will have a good result. I'm not sure.
Well, we have nothing to do but have faith in the process of reengaging what we've all believed we have here, which is representative government. And to your point, let's just go back here for a couple of quick things before we get to Mark. Reading again from the Chronicle article, it says that there was no public debate over the bill, nor were the two raw milk dairies in California informed in advance. And then Stephen Beam from the CDFA mentions in this article here, he says that a coliform count by itself doesn't mean that there's an organism that'll make you sick. He just says, but a high count is an indication of general sanitation that will lead you to a problem lead you to solve a problem before it becomes a greater problem, but it doesn't mention what a high count really is, so I'm still left kind of curious. And then in my digging in preparation for this show, I discover that there is already a section on the California Food and Agricultural Code 35928F that says that the state does not intend to limit or restrict the availability of certified raw milk. So we've got to ask, what's going on? And also, our governor, isn't he a health nut? I mean, how could he have known about this? And since none of the state assembly seemed to be against it, it's leading me to believe maybe they didn't know about it. Maybe this really was sneaky, and they thought they were going to pull one over on 30 million people in California. That's a bit nuts. Mark McAfee, I hope you're on the line with us. What's going on, Mark? What do you have to say about this? And also, what's been taking place as far as the rebuttal of the citizens and consumers to help bring some truth back to this matter?
Well, thank you for having me on. And Chris, you did a great job of explaining a lot of things. And Sally, it's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
You know, where do I start? I have so much information. We just have mountains of information and so little time here. To give you a quick summary, basically, I found out this whole entire AB 1735 came about via an email from Nicole Parra, who is the secretary of the chairman of the Ag Committee in the Assembly. And she was just sending out a routine email that basically said she was proud of all these things she'd done this year. And one of them was aligning CDFA raw milk policy with FDA food policy. And that was a big red flag to me. So I did further research, and lo and behold, I found these eight words. And that's where I blew a gasket and couldn't believe that this had happened. And I contacted the state. I contacted everybody, and there it was. It had been sitting, you know, written in the law. So I started immediately to do evaluation and then contacted my friends in the state of Washington and all around, and found out that there's a lot of people not passing that test. And we didn't even know what our tests were because it's never been relevant. The state of California has never tested coliforms in our finished product. It's never been a relevant standard. We have to currently, this is very important, meet and exceed the total bacteria count in our raw milk products, and it has to be lower, substantially lower, than pasteurized product after pasteurization. We have to have a total of less than 15,000 living bacteria in each milliliter of milk, and that's the maximum allowed after pasteurization for pasteurized milk products. Now, the federal standard is 20,000, not 15. So we're 25% less than what the federal government and the PMO allows for pasteurized. So we're already way exceeding the cleanliness of raw milk in the PMO, which is the federal standard. But that wasn't even allowed into this AB 1735 to increase the standard plate count by 5,000. They just gave us this 10 coliform count, which doesn't even pertain at all to milk safety. In fact, there's all kinds of university studies. I mean, I've just found loads of them. Wisconsin and Virginia and UC Davis, Cornell, that show that coliform counts have no relative value at all in determining sanitation, and that less than 100 is perfectly fine. The big problem we have is that the studies that the state of California did on us surreptitiously and without us knowing, secretly, in the last 6 months, were out of our bulk tank, not out of finished products. And there's just a mountain of evidence that shows that when you go about bottling your milk and putting it through a pump where the impeller will agitate it and being put into finished product, and then, lo and behold, taken overnight to Los Angeles for evaluation, there's a lot of disturbance of these little colonies that form the bacteria that they're talking about, these colony-forming units or coliforms that make up these little colonies. And they're very large, like long, spindly-looking things that if they're disturbed, they immediately become two or three or four. So it's going to be so inaccurate doing finished product that it's nowhere even close to what they've been doing the surveillance on us the last 6 months in the bulk tank. And I will point out that the state of Washington producers bottle right out of the bulk tank without going to a mechanical bottler. And that is one of the ways you can get a very low bacteria count. And we've been having very low counts too, but if you double them, you're above 10. So my point is, we're being painted into a corner here, and it's really, really legislation without representation in a quiet, secreted, designed to have the great raw milk surprise. And what do you know? I'm shocked and appalled. So I've asked for a meeting. They granted me the meeting. I've attended the meeting. I had with me some really heavy-duty people, PhDs and epidemiologists and all that kind of stuff, the evidence supplied by those people with the state of California. I was very impressed. I thought that the legislature representatives were quite shocked that, in fact, this had been snuck over on them, and they felt, I don't want to use the word embarrassed, but they certainly were open to having this dialogue now because I was presenting things they'd never heard before. And the question was asked, Why haven't we heard this before from the PhDs over at CDFA? And there wasn't a lot of discussion there. But I did hear loud and clear that their entire intention was to align CDFA milk law with FDA milk law, of which I responded adamantly saying, why would we do that? We have 35928F, which says that the California citizens will not be restricted to their raw milk. And that's a law on the books, been there forever. It's a venerable, sacred food raw milk law that's been there for years and years. And so they couldn't answer that, you know, because the raw milk law of the federal government, they want to see it banned from the face of the earth. I mean, they've been very adamant that they don't want a drop of raw milk on in California or anywhere else that they can find in the United States. So there's a lot on this bone. There's a lot of meat on this bone, and we just started this long fight. But I will say this, that the people that we met with this Monday at the Sacramento dedicated themselves to working with us rapidly, and they wanted to have a full copy of the 3 inches thick of research and all the pathogen tests that we have, which have all been zero since day one, given to them immediately, and they want another meeting next week to come up with a plan. Now, I have submitted to them a 5-point plan which not only deals with this coliform issue, it actually gives them a little something. I'm requesting a 100 coliform count, which all the universities are pretty much in consensus that's perfectly fine, and that raw milk with a less than 100 coliforms and that it's pathogen-free is very, very good high-quality milk, and that coliforms are not relative to other pathogen tests or other sanitary standards. In fact, there's UC Regents, the UC Regents here in California University says that coliforms, take that out of your mind, they say. Fecal coliforms, take it out of your mind because you find them everywhere. That the word fecal is used as a fear tactic because those kinds of bacteria are found in the roots of plants, especially organic plants that have biodiversity going on. They're found on leaves. They're found under your fingernails. They're found everywhere. And that the word fecal is an inflammatory comment because, remember, the seat of your immune system is in your intestines, and that's where you need to have all these good bacteria. And they're telling us now we can't have them. And that this is a stealth program to sterilize us. And I'll tell you, we can't do that because look at where it's taking us with all these terrible immune depression we have in our country with the antibiotic-resistant infections like MRSAs, MRSAs and things that are now prevalent, killing lots of people. Raw milk consumers know this, and they are rebelling in droves, in mountains, in sheets of waves right now against California legislatures and assemblymen to bring them to the table because this is a sleight of hand in the dark of night. Raw milk surprise, and they're not going to put up with it.
Well, hats off to the consumers and anybody, you know, this is an opportunity to have your voice be heard. I know that there's a lot of links available if you go to the organicpastures.com website. It's very well organized. The resistance is organized. The truth is organized. Sally, can we go back to you and just let's talk a little bit about the general safety of raw milk, the growth in this raw milk movement a bit?
Sure. First, I want to add, though, that, you know, if you've got a standard that, let's just say, for the sake of argument, is good 75% of the time, no raw milk dairy can do business under those circumstances. If they're coming down and shutting you down for 2 weeks, 75% of the time, you'll go out of business. And they never talk about the financial hardship that they put on these dairies and farmers when they have these unreasonable standards. And I think at some point these state governments are going to have to be held responsible for the financial damages that they inflict on these farmers. Well, raw milk is, I would say, the movement of the 21st century. Raw milk today is where organics was 20 years ago, considered a fringe movement, but poised to, I predict, reach the mainstream within 10 years. I predict that within 10 years, 10 to 20 years, let's say, pasteurized milk will be eclipsed and it will eventually disappear because we now have the science to show us that raw milk is actually much safer than pasteurized milk. All of these coliforms and all of the enzymes and the various components in raw milk that are destroyed by pasteurization, these keep milk safe. They kill pathogens, they support the immune system, and they ensure that all the nutrients are absorbed. And along with what we've learned about the safety of raw milk, we are now getting this incredible collection of testimonials from parents whose children were saved by raw milk, people whose osteoporosis went away, whose allergies, asthma went away. and you just can't ignore this for too long. And what we're getting, and this has always been my strategy, number one strategy, create customers. And when we create these passionate customers, they will work to find a way to make raw milk available.
Mm. Now, years ago, there used to be small dairies spotting the countryside across this country, right? It used to be very much a local community thing. You had your local dairy. You had it either, you know, dropped off at the I mean, I'm not that old, but I remember getting milk at the front door, you know, back in the late 60s. And, you know, this is how it used to be. Local economies, local places supporting local consumers and local families. And then all of that was wiped out through the major commercialization.
Yes. And what wiped it out was mandatory pasteurization. Just to give you an example, the state of Tennessee used to have 10,000 dairies, and today it has 500. And if you drive across Tennessee, you see a landscape littered with broken-down barns, dilapidated barns. Basically, what mandatory pasteurization did was take away the number one value-added product from local communities and is the big contributor to the rural blight that we're seeing today. It's really been a terrible thing for America, this pasteurization. I know that people did it with the best of intentions. Most people were well-intended. But I think in the background was the dairy industry that wanted to gain control. And the other thing the industry doesn't like is the fact that farmers can do so much better selling milk directly to the public. They have an out. They don't have to sell to the commercial dairy for these ridiculous prices that they're giving farmers. You know, a farmer today in the commercial system gets about $11 a gallon. That's what they got in World War II.
$11 a hundredweight.
I'm sorry, a hundredweight
now in California.
Yeah, $11 a hundredweight. And a farmer selling directly gets 4 to 10 times that much and can really make a living even on a small farm.
Right. Now, just to clarify, there's really no need. I mean, we could spend multiple hours talking about pasteurized milk and the milk industry and all that stuff and being angry about that, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not really even the point. The point here is our right to a naturally healthy and occurring product that has for thousands of years been harmonious with human existence. And I mean, we know this. So we're just simply saying we want alignment with what is natural, what is real, and without the unnecessary inhibition of people that say they're looking out for us, but then don't give us any real rationale for the choices that they're making in supposedly protecting us here.
You know, one of the charts we submitted on Monday at our meeting was very compelling. We gave them a chart showing the outbreak or the incidence of non-surveillance raw foods that are allowed to be sold without any surveillance program at all, and it included hamburger, mushrooms, sprouts, and broccoli. And in all those cases, you have 2 to 7% of every sample has a pathogen present, like either Listeria, Salmonella, or E. coli 015787. So what's really profound to us is on that chart you also show organic pasteurized dairy and thousands upon thousands of tests in 7 years, zeros. And everybody in that meeting just dropped their jaw going, uh-oh, bias big time. And they were blown away because none of these other products are controlled, but yet people don't get sick, and that's because, guess what, you have an immune system that functions.
Right. Now, and you've told me, Mark, in past shows that you have even done tests sort of just clarifying that the actual bacteria in the milk is doing what it's supposed to be doing and warding off invaders, yeah?
There is a USDA peer-reviewed research study available online that says coliforms kill E. coli 015787 by a little protein they release called a colicin. Those colicins are working very well in our milk. We need a level of coliforms in our raw milk. It's a good thing. And, you know, it's almost anti-safety to have them missing because you've got these coliforms creating colicins that are dead-on accurate, killing E. coli 015787. That comes from the USDA. So this is much ado about nothing, but much ado about one thing, control and getting rid of raw milk in California.
Right. It definitely is sounding to me like an apples and oranges kind of situation. I mean, if one is going to create a regulation to say, you know, was pasteurized milk actually, you know, fully pasteurized and that anything living inside of it was killed, they're saying that the measurement of that is these coliforms, because if there's coliforms, then there could be bacteria and that we didn't succeed in the complete pasteurization of the milk. So therefore, that's what they're looking for, right,
well,
and pasteurized milk.
Understand this, that pasteurization does not kill all bacteria. In fact, there's quite a few living bacteria that are struggling after being damaged. Paratuberculosis gets by, the bacillus formers, spore formers get by, there's other viruses that get by, there's lots of things that get by, yeast get by, pasteurization. So it is not a sterilization process at all. And you know, given that, that's why they tell you to have 10 coliforms after pasteurization. Nobody says it, but I'm going to say it today. There's 750 coliforms allowed per milliliter in the farm milk tank tested before it's pumped into the truck that goes to the creamery. 750. And when it gets to the creamery, it's multiple times that. So you're talking about thousands of coliforms per milliliter that go through that pasteurizer. And what does that mean? If they're claiming coliforms are bad, would you have bacteria in your pasteurized milk?
So we're learning here that this whole coliform issue is not something that is directly correlated to the safety of raw milk in California, nor is it directly related at all to a measurement of whether or not there are any pathogens in milk. There's a different standard for that, yeah?
That's correct. We have been tested every month by the state of California, and we test every day or every 2 days for pathogens in our milk. There are thousands of tests out there that show zeros, and we have a very intense surveillance program. There's very, very good technology in the last 10 years that's been developed to allow to test for pathogens very, very accurately. And we have that technology, and so does the state. So there's no need to go one step deeper and just put a chokehold to literally waterboard raw milk in California and cause it to go out of business because you're testing for something that's not pathogenic. We know we're pathogen-free. We got tens, literally thousands of results back, all zeros. So, you know, we also have a very low standard plate count. So there's really three things we're doing. Zero pathogens, low standard plate count is the is the current standard, and we've had less than 15,000, which is obviously less than what's after pasteurization for total bacteria, and no pathogens. What more could you want? You certainly want the beneficial bacteria in raw milk. That's why people buy it.
Right.
And who gave the power to those that don't drink raw milk to decide for me and you and our parents and our kids if we can have raw milk? Raw milk consumption is a conscious decision. You don't drink raw milk at 2.5 the price of organic and consume it by mistake.
Right.
This is an impingement on our freedom to eat.
Now, you said in the Chronicle article, we've got about 7 minutes left, my friend. So in the Chronicle article, you said here that this new, quote, standard that they're putting in place is basically prohibits raw milk in California. And also in that article, Ron Garthwaite, owner of Claravel Milk, says that, you know, that he said that he might be out of business in 6 months, is what he says here in the Chronicle. You know, if we start focusing on an arbitrary number that doesn't really have anything to do with safety.
There was also a couple other things that were said in the Chronicle that were absolutely incorrect. There have not been three recalls of organic pasteurized dairy products in the last 7 years. There's been one of a raw milk in California and one of cream. And the cream was purchased from an outside creamery to make butter. We don't make all of our cream for making butter because it takes so much cream and we just don't have enough. And was found that we didn't have any recall associated with that. So there's only been one recall of our milk, and there was a settlement reached with those mutual releases, and we got a big fat check from the state of California because they were liable for the fact there was no pathogen found in any of our dairy products and no kids were associated or connected. So they are really pulling at straws here to point fingers when there's no fingers to be pointed.
Well, again, I wish I had somebody from the CDFA to help us understand the broader rationale behind this, why it was put in. We heard from you earlier, Mark, that it does seem like it was one of the assembly folks who had kind of put this in there to make sure that they were aligning with an FDA standard, which all sounds well and good and sounds well-intentioned, but there's no real rationale behind even that standard. It doesn't seem that this coliform focus is anything that is specifically tied to what we're being told it's tied to, which is to help increase the safety of raw milk in California. Now, organic pastures produces what percentage of the raw milk sold in California?
I'd say about 95%.
About 95%, and there's never been a single pathogen found at your dairy?
Never been a single pathogen ever found in all raw milk. Now, there was some listeria found on the eighth day of laboratory testing from organic cream that you purchased from an outside creamery, but not our raw milk, and none of our raw milks were recalled. We made a mistake, and we've changed that. But, yeah, there's never been a pathogen ever found in organic pasteurized dairy milk, ever.
So one has to ask, why the alarm? Why is this happening? Why is the state of California trying to, you know, to do this and sneak it in? Was it a mistake? Did they just not know? Does the governor know about this? Did he not even know that this was happening? Did they not realize that putting these words in would create such an inhibition upon raw milk producers in California, thus the effect being the extreme minimization of its availability to the public? Or was that in their intention? I can't really delve into what their intention is because I haven't been able to speak with them directly, but we have to put the pieces together, you and me, and looking at what's taken place here, doing our own analysis of the information. Does it make any sense? And really focus on the truth. And, you know, it's okay to feel a bit riled that that something you love and know to be safe is being messed with by legislators that really don't know much about what they're talking about, nor seem to be coming from a place of truly representing your interests and your health. Yeah, that can be very, very frustrating. And the way I think to deal with that is to remain grounded in your factual knowledge of the truth, what you know and feel to be correct and sensible, and do your best to communicate that to the people involved to help rectify the situation. And it sounds like, Mark, that you're making some significant headway with these folks, and we should continue everyone writing their letters, calling, and in my opinion, taking the perspective that, you know, we're just trying to get this thing set right here. We're not fighting back. I mean, we can think [S2] Right. [S1] Of it that way, but it's not about fighting back. It's about standing up for what's true and the truth, and perhaps maybe they've made a mistake. Maybe this could be an opportunity.
We're going to come up with a technical letter, which is basically going to a technical paper, which is going to talk about all these things and give all the university research and all the PhDs and all the studies that are peer-reviewed so that all this stuff is no longer just talk from Mark or Chris or Sally or anybody. It's going to come directly from science so that there's a good reference so that, that we're no longer speculating. This is the rule of science and biology.
And you are working directly with the state to help everybody come up with the proper standards that make scientific sense, that will do their best to ensure the safety of the product of the consumers, yeah?
We are already safe. We're going to see what we can do to accommodate them with their concerns, if they're any valid concerns.
Yeah. By the way, the FDA has a PowerPoint on their website talking about how dangerous raw milk is, and we are just about to release a point-by-point rebuttal of this PowerPoint, and what we found in looking at it, that 100%, 15 out of the 15 studies they cited in this study were flawed in one way or another.
My goodness. Sally Fallon from the Weston A. Price Foundation. Folks can get more about information about you and Weston A. Price at westonaprice.org. Thank you so much for connecting with me today, Sally.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Chris Ostrander has been on the line. He's calling down from Washington. He's been very instrumental in helping organize shareholder dairies up there in the past. And there's more that we could talk about legislation in Washington that's been inhibiting raw milk, but that'll be a different show. Thanks so much for calling in, Chris.
Thank you.
And Mark McAfee, owner of Organic Pastures Dairy, who is the most impacted by this surreptitious legislation here in California, and the most outspoken in representing all of us as consumers to help rectify the situation. Thanks, Mark, and we applaud your efforts, and thank you for everything you're doing. Thanks for calling in.
It's the consumers that are suffering, and they're the ones that need to rebel, and thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Mark. So there you have it. Just a very long and complex discussion here on the whole raw milk issue in California. It definitely seems like something is a bit amiss with this AB 1735 bill and the state taking action, perhaps unknown really to the governor and the assembly people as to what the ramifications were, what the rationale was, the apparently the lack of any real science, not apparently, but definitively, the lack of any real science behind their change in legislation, which also seems to be contrary to legislation that's already on the books that says that the state of California wouldn't mess with raw milk. So why are they doing this? What's going on? And what can you do about it? Well, you can listen to this show. You can pass it on to anybody else that you know, because we all do need to know and understand the truth as best we can so that we can stand up for and be represented in what we believe and share that information. I encourage you to go to organicpastures.com. Mark has a bunch of links up on there. You can get in touch with your representatives. You can learn more about the truth behind raw milk. Why is everyone talking about it? Why is it growing so much? Why is it super healthy for you? Stay grounded in the truth and remember that all change begins with you and your personal choice. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a Healthful Living advocate with Healthful Living. Reality Sandwich airs every Thursday at noon here on KPOO independent radio here in San Francisco. We'll be back next week. The show will be available for free download by tomorrow at realitysandwichradio.com. Thanks for tuning in.